for some folks that ain't been here, just a real quick introduction of we've been over the light of God's Word, and we parked on Matthew chapter 5 verse 16, where it said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So it's something people see. So now we're on the fruits of God as something we see in life, that people see in our lives, that we have fruits inside us that come from God, which is hope and peace, and those are all things come from God. And then there's things people see in our lives where they see contentment, they see temperance in our life, they see joy in our life, and it's made by our countenance and how we conduct ourselves. And then there's the fruits that's eternal fruits that we have waiting on the other side that we'll have there when we get there. We don't need to be the ones with all the crowns laying at their feet, and they just lay them at Jesus' feet, and that might be the way it is. And probably that person that's silent, they might be praying more, holding the whole ball of wax together. It might be them. And we'll find out then. And some things we just claim the judgment seat of Christ, because that day we will know for sure of what's going on. So in Hebrews 13:5, I can keep your place there, but I'm going to read this. It, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." You know, the world is constantly bombarding our minds with wanting this or wanting that. If it ain't a car, it's clothes. If it's a home, it's a yard. They have something better, quicker, faster, easier. And they're constantly, and everywhere we turn around, I mean, it don't matter where you turn around, you're constantly, so your mind is constantly fighting itself. And the Spirit of God is there saying, be content with such things you have, for godliness is a whole, you know, be content with such things as you have. Now, if God said He'd meet our every need, did not He promise that? So anything above that, it becomes a want. And then our wonder gets in place, and who's in control then? Are we filled with the Spirit of God? No, we're not. So it's really easy to get pulled into that spot to where our minds is immediately... Boy, we're going to do a display up here with Brother Mike's help, and we're getting some things together to give you a visual what happens in our hearts and minds. But our hearts can only hold surrender to God for just... It's like David prayed morning, noon, and evening, right? I'm popping and snapping. Morning, noon, and night. Jesus prayed morning, noon, and night. There's a pattern there, but I think of us, we could start off in the morning with our Bible and praying, and everything's sweet, everything's good, and it don't take just a little inkling of that day. If something happens and we're discontent, we're mully-grubbing, we're complaining, we're fretting, we're worrying, and it don't take much. And then we get, "Lord, help me with this," and then we're right on the, we got our wheels back on the road again. It ain't long, we're getting a flat, and then we're back in the ditch, and we're trying to steer back in the road. And that's our mind, the battlefield right between our ears. I know some of you, it's easier, you know, but some of us, we wrestle. I'm one of the ones, I wrestle. Amen, I wrestle, man. I mean, my mind is so prone to go to mush just that quick and wander off the track. But we know the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that singular: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All those things are manifest at one time. The fruit of the Spirit. Some people think, well, I got joy, I'm doing good. Well, if you're filled with the Spirit, you'll have all these at the same time. That means you're out of the way, you're prayed up, you're confessed up. Then all the rest of these: peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, where you have self-control. And Devin, you know the one that in Proverbs, when I said, "A man that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls." You take walls out from around a city, what happens? It's defenseless. Anything can jump in. And it didn't just say broke down, it said without walls. Anything can come in from any angle, from behind you, from the sides, anything. And our minds is that city. And that's what needs to be captivated. And what it say, "The Lord shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That word "keeps" like a military guard, marching around my mind, marching around my heart, constantly keep in order, guarding it, because my prayers and supplications is made forth to God. Then he said, shall keep your hearts and minds. Didn't say maybe, it said shall. So let's get into this. And then we know the fruit of the flesh, which those are the ones, the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, all those. Now, let's read here in chapter 5 in Ephesians. And let's look down here and we'll start reading into it in verse 7. And we'll read into it. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And it's talking about for the ones that's the covetous man. In verse 5, for this ye know, for no whoremongers, nor unclean persons, nor covetous man, who is in adultery, that they're idol worshipers. And the idols of things is anything in this life can be an idol. Anything. For ye were, be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit, there that singular is again, of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now who does that? Who proves what's acceptable? Do we? Didn't say that, did it? What it's saying? For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I think we have more trouble with ourselves than to worry about anybody else's fruit tree. Don't we? But it's a lot easier to find somebody else's faults than to find our own, than to look in a mirror and say, man, you're a mess. But we can expect somebody else's tree, man, ain't got no fruit on that tree, and then we're good at it. Come on, nod your head. It's easier to judge somebody else than to really look at yourself and realize, I'm not doing so great. I need help. I need help. I need to learn to allow God to be worked out through me. Now look at the rest of this. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And this is talking about the light of God's Word, the light of the gospel coming in your life. That's what keeps us straight. The best place I know to keep my mind right is right at the foot of Calvary mentally. Keep myself right there and remember what He did for me. And remember, anything I do in my flesh that is not subject to the Spirit of God, I've already separated my fellowship with God. According to 1 John chapter 1. This I say, then walk in spirit, and you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. But the thing is, this who walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, this warfare that we have going on, then he says, so then, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're living in the most exciting times there ever was. If any time for a Christian to walk in the light of God's Word, to walk redeeming the time, it's now. This is the time for us to get serious about the things of God. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And there we heard what the will of the Lord was already this morning. Seeking Him. Here it is again. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Singular again. Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is one of the hardest things I've ever seen possible to do in my life. I got one nod head. Anybody else got a nod head? I see two. I see three. Okay. Did you hear what that said? Giving thanks for all things. Let's read that again. Verse 20. Giving thanks always, not sometimes, but always, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That don't matter good or bad. Giving thanks whether I drop a cement brick on my foot, somehow God's going to get glory. I don't know how, but according to this, I'm to be thankful for it. Maybe God's trying to make me humble. I don't know. So maybe I'll drop one on my left foot too and maybe make me more humble. Maybe that's what we need. You like that, don't you, John? I see that smile. Hit yourself with a hammer and on your thumb. It's hard to be thankful. Get a flat tire in the rain. I don't understand, Lord, but here we are. But that's our lives. But all those things happen if we believe God is sovereign, God's in control. We can give thanks, knowing that. And there's that contentment of our heart. There's that thing in our mind when we start questioning. Well, does God really know what He's doing? Sure, God knows what He's doing. Right. Right. I mean, the children of Israel going out in the middle, they are in the desert, and they got the desert here. The enemy's behind them, the Red Sea's in front. They're in a pickle. They question. I'd have been there with them, bellyaching, complaining. I'd have been right on board with it. But God had a way out. David had a way out. He sought God. Lord, what do I do in this predicament? I'm in a fix. God has a way above our own. I don't understand it, but God does. That's where, what's Hebrews, who can quote Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1? Who can say? Josh, it's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's real faith. Things we don't see. Believe in our prayers, God's working. That's real faith. Believe God's working when we don't see Him physically working, but He's working. And believing that He is. So, and then it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now I want to go back over this, filled with the Spirit. So if I'm filled, controlled as a drunkard, he's in excess, he's controlled, and he'll say things he normally wouldn't say. He'll do things he would normally not do. He'll challenge people normally he wouldn't challenge. He thinks he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Yeah. He thinks he is. But here it compares being filled with the Spirit to a drunken man controlled by something else. And we're to be controlled by the Holy Ghost of God. And if the Holy Ghost of God is controlling us and we're filled with Him, there in His love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those are manifest in our life. And our fruit tree is blooming, looking beautiful, that other people can see. We'll have the peace and the joy from God inside, the temperance and the patience, and people see on the outside, and let alone the lives we affect by doing that, putting fruits in eternity on the other side. So the fruit of the Spirit being manifested. So be filled. And it said, notice what it said here. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So according to this, the will of the Lord is to be filled, to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, to where I am intoxicated by the Holy One of God. To where He is causing me to, I don't know what it is, but do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That's a hard one to spit out. But when you're controlled by somebody else, He'll cause you to do things normally you would not do. He'll cause you to say things and normally you would just, I ain't saying nothing. Because He's in control. A drunken man, he'll do things stupidly that normally he wouldn't do. Or when God gets him moving, you got both hands are going, Amen! Glory to God! Hallelujah! He'll make you do things normally you wouldn't do if you allow Him to have control. Being filled. I took off running in a camp meeting. I didn't know what else to do. I couldn't holler at the time. I'm used to saying amen. I'm talking like this. What do I do? I'm going to bust. I'm going to explode. God just swelling up. And I start quivering. I start crying. I'm going, oh God, I need something. Brother Duncan says, just start kicking. I started kicking before I knew it. I started running. But it'll normally make you do things you wouldn't normally do. It's what a drunken man does. He's out of control. We need to be out of control for the Lord. Consumed by God to where we're doing things normally we would not do for the glory and honor of God. That's the will of God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled means you do things normally you wouldn't do. Because He's controlling you. Ain't that wonderful? So, but according to the Scripture, this is the will of God for every one of you. If you're saved, you're born again, it's God's will for your life. To be out of control for the glory and honor of God. Ain't that something? So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all those things are manifest in your life. Bubbling. You ever been sitting there in the pew and God gets you moving and you just feel the bubble? God's sweetness, His presence, and you're just, wow, you're just wonderful, Lord. You're just so awesome. Wow. And it's God moving inside you. And you know who it is? It's the Holy Ghost. Said, let me out of here. I want to do something for God. Let me out. You got me pinned up. You got me hemmed down. I want to do something for Jesus. What's the Holy Spirit do? He never talks about Himself. He's always pointing to the one that can do something. The Holy Ghost of God. Being consumed, controlled. Because if that's happening, there'll be no need to be thinking you're doing pruning or thinking you're doing self-fertilization or grafting. God will take care of all that. He's the husbandman. And Jesus is what from last week? Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Fruit comes after. And we can do nothing by ourselves. Nothing. Nothing. Love, joy, peace. This is God's will for the believer's life. Long-suffering, forbearance, fortitude, long-suffering, patience. That's all in that long-suffering. Gentleness, moral excellence in character or demeanor, kindness. You know, boy, that's made a lot in Miss Audrey. I tell you what, that's one of her, boy, just blooms from her life. You just see it blooming, blossoming from this meekness, this kindness from her. Faith, persuasion, assurance in your belief. No matter what happens, you believe God. That God's got a way, God's got a means. Meekness, gentleness by implication, by humility. Temperance, self-control. You're not out of control. But you want to be out of control for Jesus. Not you in control. Him in control. And that way God's working at it. So this is what, and it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You never know who's listening. That guy at work come by and said, "Why are you whistling all the time? Why are you humming something? Why? I mean, you're sitting there working, sweat's dripping off your nose, you're in pain all the time." And I said, "I know God. My sins are forgiven. What greater thing could you have possibly want more than have fellowship with God Almighty?" He goes, "Yeah, that is pretty good, knowing you're right with the Maker of the universe. That my heart's right with the Maker of all things, who casted the star, the sun, the stars, and that made everything, you and me, the earth, everything that possibly is, and I'm right with Him. That ought to compel us and shove us and constrain us," as Paul says. "The love of Christ constrains me." In other words, holds me up. Squeeze me up. I'm out of time. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love You. Thank You so much for Your Word, dear God. And Lord, help us. Lord, knowing Your Word, and I know our flesh just wants to rise up at times, but oh, dear God, it's so much easier just allow You to have Your will and way and just get out of the way and allow You to consume us. Fill us, Lord. Fill our minds. The worship service, come. We ought to sing the top of our lungs, whether it's in tune or out of tune, but sing with everything we got. And Lord, in worship You, You are truly worthy of everything we have in our body and our means and our power, dear God. Allow the Holy Ghost just to help us along. And bless the preaching hour, dear God, that we hear from heaven. Lord, that You challenge our hearts. And Lord, if it be one here or several here maybe that just been playing church or undone, unlearned, oh, dear God, that the secrets of the heart be made manifest. Maybe born again into the family of God. Maybe one walking afar off, dear God, be brought back nigh, dear God, and close again. Lord, help us. Lord, we need Your help. Lord, we can do nothing within ourselves, dear God, and we can't draw a soul, but You can. So have Your will and way in the service. Bless, Father. We need Your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.